Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And welcome to the Full Time Devils podcast. This is Adam McCullough. Today I am with Gaz Drinkwater, Stephen Arson, and Jay Marty, going with the full names, the full governmentals on here today.
Well, apart my middle from name, me. Do you know my middle name?
Drink. If you're going to do that, you technically need to address me by rank. So.
Well, what was your rank?
Corporal.
But yours is Ian, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
It's Paul.
Paul, that's it. I knew it was a proper, like, down Gary the pub Paul. Fella's name.
Yeah, it's proper, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Gary Paul.
I know, yeah. Gary don't Paul. Look like a Gary or a Paul.
Gary Paul, you know? Though.
Ian's
like
in the mix
Indian
with him, though.
Fella. Gary Paul. To me, yeah. So I'm sure I've met Gary an Indian Paul. Fella called Gary Paul.
What?
Paul or Paul is an Indian name.
Oh, okay. I'd love to hear of an Indian Gary.
What's your middle, it's usually the geezer you phone your when you're phoning O2. My middle name was my dad's first name.
Right, okay.
And my son's middle name will be my first name.
That's the same as my son's. My son's middle name is my dad's name.
Jay, like Homer. Homer J. Simpson.
I suggested Jay, but it got vetoed.
Have you seen that episode?
Yeah.
That's a great episode, isn't it? When he goes to find out what the J stands for.
It's Jay.
And it's A-Y.
Jay.
Simpsons used to be so good.
I know, man.
I was so close to having my recent born called Gunnar as well.
Oh, mate, don't. Not so just because close. Of our recent born, but...
And it
it's
was
shaftastic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it was.
It's more
was
of a
couple
dog's
of weeks.
Name, right?
Gunnar.
Yeah. But it was a couple
Gunnar.
Of weeks before yeah. Holly got announced.
It's a dog's name.
And I'm thinking, oh, it's 20 years since the treble. Blah blah blah.
So is Holly a remix version of Ollie?
What?
Holly.
Holly. Who's Holly?
Did you say Holly?
No, Gunnar.
What?
Holly right. Gunnar. As
yeah,
in Gunnar.
I thought you said
Holly. Right. So you're just gonna have Gunnar.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But you fucking vetoed that yourself.
No, I didn't veto it.
Your missus said stop.
We also had a little girl and
called her Holly.
No. So yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, you can't call a girl Gunnar.
Nah, Gunnar, even as a middle name.
And I quite liked Hunter as well.
People wouldn't know whether it was because he was in the army or is a United fan.
Exactly.
Or a buzz off Vikings. That was that was what I was sort of like portraying to Janine. And we're lying in bed one night and she was scrolling through her phone and it was when the rumours had started about Ollie coming to United and she was like, because she'd never heard of him before that and she was like, is this why you want Gunnar? And I was like,
my brother's middle name's John Yap.
What?
Wow.
Genuinely, John Yap. After Yap Stam.
What, his middle name is
I was wondering if it was after
it's
fucking Mikhail Sylvester.
Two middle names. He's got two middle names. And then my other brother's called James Keane.
No, you missed the trick there. Why not Yip Yap?
Yeah.
Yip Yap.
Well, the thing is, John, Yap is like the Dutch version of John, so we just call him Henry John John now.
Right, okay.
So why have
I like
John
Georgie
in there?
For a girl. Yap I was thinking
John.
Georgie.
I know. I know.
It's like me saying Gary Gaz.
I know it is.
Great, yeah. Well, we are here to talk about football, isn't it?
No, I think. Absolutely not. That's about as close.
Don't spoil it. I need to get this out. What's the one Simpsons episode that mentions Man United, sort of?
The one with Ryan. He talks about Ryan Giggs.
That's says, can't believe Ryan Giggs got a foul in the box or something.
Something that doesn't make sense.
The one where they go to
Britain.
It's
a proper, really shit Americanism. Just like, oh, I can't believe we got a penalty kick on the offside.
Which is, I hate that they mention Pele.
Family Guy.
I'm Pele. Right. Even if you don't rate him, he's genuinely not one of the worst footballers.
Hang on.
He's not that bad.
How do you know?
I've got a box of outrageous statements, and in that box, right, Beatles are overrated. Pele,
which is
shit.
Fucking stupid.
Phil Jones for captain. Johnny Evans for captain.
Johnny Evans should have been captain.
If
Johnny Evans comes back to United now, fucking hell, he probably would be captain in certain games. And most
players. I'm captain now.
Now listen.
Don't stay on Pele. No, stay on Pele.
I want to talk about Phil Jones.
Okay.
Because that is a funny clip. And it's been going around this
week. Which one?
Went viral of me. Talking about Phil Jones, saying he'll be United and England captain one
Fergie
day.
Fergie said
do you
it
know
too,
what, though?
So it's fucking...
He did captain United and he has captain England.
You see that picture I put out?
That's genuine and real.
Yeah. Captain's armband on his head.
That happened.
To be fair, if you gave Phil Jones an armband, the captain's armband's probably what he'd do with it, isn't it?
Yeah, because he's used to more having head injuries than he is wearing things on his arm, isn't it?
Fucking try and eat it.
I'm not being funny, but if your opinion's at any point aligned with Sir Alex Ferguson, I think you can get away with it. I think you'll be all right.
I think what
he took it further though, didn't he? Fergie said he's like one of our best ever players.
So he's getting next on Connect.
Imagine how if I come out and said that today.
Mate, that'd be going viral forever.
Yeah. I would get lynched.
Seriously.
I can't even is that bad an opinion that you can't even joke about it? You can't be like, well, Duncan Edwards must have been shit.
He had so much talent. So much. When he came from Blackburn, everybody wanted him.
Or was people projecting what they've seen and multiplying that by the experience that a central defender generally gets?
Wait, say that again.
Was they looking at what sort of prospect he looked like with his movement, with his tackling?
And saying, he's going to be like John Terry.
And thinking that...
Or he's going to be like Vidic.
Knowing the trajectory most first-choice centre defenders take when they don't get injured every fortnight, are they thinking that with experience and this, that and the other, he's going to be...
No, but do you remember him playing for Blackburn against Manchester
United? I used to cover Blackburn.
He was like 16, 17 years old.
Really good.
Was that when we won
Blackburn
for the league? Or was that a different... When Phil Jones played against us?
It was in the league.
No, when we drew... No, we won. Won at Black.
Was it 1-0 penalty? Was it that game?
When it was a training exercise for half an hour.
There was one at Old
Trafford. They weren't relegated and we'd won the league.
I need to check that.
And we just passed it around. Like,
but he was phenomenal. And the Fergie Duncan Edwards thing at that point.
Well, he didn't get ridiculed.
He could get away with it.
Fergie did not get ridiculed at the time.
He would have been at Blackburn that year, by the way. You're right. Because that was title number 19, wasn't it? That wasn't 20. That was 19.
No, it wasn't 20.
That was 19. And he came. He was at Sunderland when we didn't win the league. He was in that game. I remember him being in that season. So he would have played for Blackburn that season. That would have been his last season at Blackburn.
Sorry, my parking's just run out, so I'm just going to.
Sorry.
You lot carry on with the podcast if that's all right. Music. Nice one. But while I'm here, actually, someone said to me the other day about Phil Jones. Someone genuinely said to me, he's been being played out of position his whole career.
At centre half?
Genuinely. Been played
on a football pitch.
If he was played as a defensive midfielder, and no joke, they did say the term box to box, but I think they got a bit confused there, then he would have been a lot better.
But he did play as a defensive midfielder at times.
Exactly.
People forget that.
For England, I thought
he was a defensive midfielder when we got him. I thought that would be his best position.
I don't know how much of it's ring rust, but he was fucking shocking.
I'm going to play a little bit devil's advocate over here, but I do feel a little bit sorry for him because, like, when he cancelled his testimonial because no one will come, and it's like.
It's pretty funny that, though.
Yeah, but.
I mean, it's sad.
I remember making a joke about that.
At the end of the day.
And he made me think, has he seen that?
That's what I mean, like.
Feel sad.
He obviously knows that everyone laughs at him and that he's not very good. And it's almost tragic.
It is a bit tragic.
He just needs to move on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And ultimately, that's a thing. That's an issue right throughout the club. Looking into something today, which will flabbergast you. And I'm going to throw this out for you. How many goalkeepers did Sir Alex Ferguson sign? And can you name them between 1999 and 2007?
Right,
let's go for how many first.
So we'll after Schmeichel, you're
saying? So Schmeichel's gone.
Right. Van der Haar was already there.
Up until
he didn't sign him.
Van der Haar was already there. We went for Barthez.
Ricardo.
No, wasn't Bosnić first?
Let's name them. Bosnić. Barthez, Tim Howard,
Roy Carroll, Andy Gorham,
Ricardo,
Andy Gorham.
Andy Gorham doesn't count.
Why? Emergency loan, we needed him.
We didn't sign him.
Nick Hulking was through the youth, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hang on a minute, I'm missing someone here.
You're missing a few.
Let's say Van der Sar, David De Gea, get them out of the way.
No, he wasn't 2007.
Oh, Van der Sar, yeah.
Oh, between what year?
99 and 07.
07, okay.
You don't think that's a lot of goalkeepers already?
Kuchak.
There's more. Boom.
Thomas Kuchak. He was in goal that day at Blackburn.
Yeah. Ben Foster.
Ben Foster.
Oh, what about Anders?
Anders Lindegaard.
No, that was after 2007.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That was around David De Gea.
There's two more.
There's two more. We've said Tim Howard, haven't we?
I'll give you Luke Steele.
Oh, fucking hell.
Should we get the other one?
Let's go through who we've got. So I'll try and do them in order. So we had, we signed three immediately. Bartes, Bosnich, and Luke Steele straight away. I think Luke Steele was then. We've got Tim Howard, Ricardo, Roy Carroll. Have I mentioned Luke Steele?
Yeah.
Phil Jones didn't play in the 1-1 game where Rooney scored the penalty.
That 1-1, that was it. Because they needed a draw. We needed a draw.
He played it in the 0-0.
I remember the end of that game. Mate, that was fucking
minute
the end of that game.
Come out of our half and they didn't try and make us. It was like, if I was a fan of a team that got relegated that season, by one point I'd have been fucking raging because it was just like, yeah, you stay there, we'll stay here and we'll get the title and you'll stay up. Happy days.
When I think of Van der Gea, I think of Arsenal away when he got kneed in his face.
That's when Nick Hulking came on, isn't it?
Shortest
debut ever. Shortest career, United career ever, yeah. Remember like Martin Keown and all them arguing with the ref?
Right, you ready?
Mate, you just nearly took his fucking head off. What are you on about, you idiot? Nearly killed him. And he's like arguing.
Taibbi, fucking hell.
So we signed Bosnich, Taibbi and Bartes in 99-2000.
Where did he come from again? Brescia? Torino?
Torino. Then we signed Roy Carroll and Luke Steele. And then we signed Ricardo. And then Tim Howard. Is there another one that season?
Got some Tim Howard signed.
Ben Foster, Edwin van der Sar.
I'll never forgive
Tim
him.
Tim Howard.
I'll never forgive him for Porto.
And then fucking Paul and Goal.
Now, there's nothing against anyone that's got Tourette's, obviously. But remember when he'd be in goal, just standing there, just swearing his head off.
We used to call him Tim fucking Howard, didn't we?
Mate, that's the member of the
team. We used to call him Tim Howard. That was his name.
Timmy fucking Howard.
Andy Gorham. There's only two Andy Gorhams. I'm not condoning that, by the way.
What?
We used to shout there's only two Andy Gorham.
Because of how fat he was.
No,
but anyway, you're missing the point of what I was trying to say. We signed 10 fucking goalkeepers
young kid to know what
from 99 to 07. 10 goalkeepers we signed.
And all of them apart from one were shite.
Nah, they had their spells. Tim Howard was good
Bartes
at the start.
Started off all right. But
so he got man of the match at Anfield?
Yep, he was very good at the start.
Just saying.
Then Ricardo and Luke Steele weren't signings, really, was they?
But Taibbi didn't make that mistake. I think he would have
gone on that. But the 5-0 Chelsea was shocking as well.
He did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were some bad moments.
Chris Sutton got his only Chelsea goal against
him. They had Ed De Hooy in goal, didn't they? He was a bad goalkeeper.
Man. He was a tracky goalkeeper as well.
Yeah. What was that fella that
Dimitri Karin. You always remember him being a tracky goalkeeper.
Remember that fella that played for Crystal Palace? Gabor Kauri. Was it him?
It was a Crystal Palace goalie.
Used to wear them baggy pants.
You love your random footballers, you man. Most of these fucking pass me by.
Loads of obscure footballers that everyone collecting, and then you just remembers it from stickers.
Yeah.
Is it?
And but just from thinking, looking at his fucking jogging bottoms. He had grey jogging bottoms on.
Oh, yes, now I remember.
Actually, do you know what? I think the worst out of all them was Bartes.
No,
I do.
You're wrong.
Remember when he pissed on the pitch?
Do you know what?
Remember when he pissed on the pitch?
If you fast forward now to...
Well, mine is before kickoff. 10 minutes before kickoff.
If you've brought Bartes into 2020,
like, but mate, every game against Arsenal, he gave Henry at least 2 goal start.
He did. Bartes.
Yeah.
Now Bartes was mint for the first season. Sorry, I love Bartes.
He'd be a 2020 goalkeeper, like playing out from the back and stuff.
He was sick.
He was crazy. He was too crazy.
In a preseason game in Asia, he played up front.
That's what I mean. I don't want my keeper doing shit like that. Right, getting goal.
Then became a rally car driver.
Fergie allowed little shit to go on like that as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's
no, little crazy shit.
That's what we could afford to do shit like that because we were mint. Do you know what I mean? You can buy Veron and then put him on the bench.
Like, do you remember when he tried to play Di Canio offside? Just standing there with his hand up like, he blew the whistle, mate. And he just put it in there. Anyway, that might have worked.
How was that game?
I remember
when I was a kid at that age, because that was just 2000, right?
2000.
Third round 2001.
I love shit like that.
2001.
Yeah. So I remember going to that game, and like as a kid, I went to probably like 10 home games a season. That was what, with my membership, that's what I used to go to. And I don't think I'd seen us lose many games. And I'd seen us lost that. I remember just not speaking. I'm just like, have we lost the game, Dad? Like, you know,
I remember my first game was the Leverkusen Champions League game where we drew. And obviously everyone was feeling pretty negative about it at the end. And my dad was trying to explain away goals to me. And I was just not getting it. So I was like, what? We fucking drew
when
that?
Was this last month?
So Is there anything
you believed before you went to your first football match? Like, I went when I was about 5, 6. But when I got there, I remember thinking I'd hear commentators. Like, I'd hear the commentators in the ground. Saying, Dad, where's
the Stretford end was still up when I went first.
Mate, I need to go and fucking move the car. Sorry, lads, I can't extend the parking.
All right, then.
I'm just going to move it to the other car park. I'll be fine.
Do you remember the code, yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, lads.
We'll do that live read while he's gone.
Gaz got nabbed by aliens.
Yeah, so Gaz has just had to
I hope he's got a ticket.
Move his car.
If you got a ticket, Gaz, don't move your car.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Because you've already paid for that parking.
But, yeah, I've got a... We're being sponsored here by the guys at ExpressVPN.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're a United fan, which, listening to this, you probably are, the easiest place to watch all the Premier League action is with ExpressVPN. It allows you to access EPL streams from around the world for a fraction of the price it would normally cost. So it lets you buy... You sign up for ExpressVPN and you can buy an 11 Sports account. And then that lets you log into there and you can choose your location where you want to put and then you can purchase that for over £2 a month. So if you go to, you can get a free month, free trial, expressvpn.com/extra. That's expressvpn.com/extra for 3 months free and a 1 year package. So the link is in the description. It's good. We've used it to watch some of the games that are like 3 o'clock kickoffs that you can't normally watch. And it's legit. I've been told.
No, I used it once to log into Amazon Prime.
The English office or the American one?
US. You know what, yeah, I started off where I'd see glimpses of the US office on Comedy Central and think, this is shit. Nice. And then one day I said to myself, I'm going to give it a chance. Yeah. And I watched it from the start. And once you get to know the characters... It's not stupid to you anymore. You make it makes sense.
Have you ever seen the explainer of why everything changed from season one into season two? Like, Michael was too slick and too much of a douche, and then they wanted to make him like more humble and a bit more like.
And relatable. Make you love him rather than just dislike him for being a dick.
If you notice, he has his hair slicked back really weird, and they even said how they dressed him weird so that stuff didn't fit him right on purpose, and then they changed it to make him actually look. Better in the second one,
because he is an idiot, but he's like, you love him,
yeah,
a
little bit.
Yeah, he was almost.
Which manager do you think was most like Michael Scott?
Louis, no,
I reckon David Moyes.
Yeah, Moyes.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
no, because Moyes is a bit of a. I can see Moyes like not liking anyone, not getting on with him. And Michael, like, he's a bit of a knob, but most people sort of like him.
It was definitely Moyes.
Do you reckon?
I think Ollie. I reckon he walked in and he was trying to be like mates with Moyes. No, because I think Ollie's genuinely made some more.
If the thumbnail isn't,
well, it is now
a picture from The Office with Ollie and Van Arl and that. Then we're slipping up here. But which manager is most like?
I think it's Myers because I think he probably tried to crack jokes. He was probably like trying to do these presentations and like, yo, this is, yo, I know you might have won a Champions League, but it's Phil Jagielka.
Like, Rio said that wasn't true recently.
Did it?
Yeah.
Bastard.
Moyes seems more like David Brent than I can see him trying to be pally like, but being an absolute.
Well, that's it. Michael Scott is David Brent.
Michael Scott got results.
Yeah,
he had the
best running office in America.
In
the business. Yeah, I think Michael Scott isn't as bad as David Brent. David Brent is a bit of a knob, whereas Michael Scott is sort of like, he's all right. Everyone's got a bit of a soft spot for him.
Right, Gaz has returned. The question before you went, Gaz, was which Manchester United manager, past or present, is most like Michael Scott?
It's gotta be Michael Scott. I thought you were gonna say David Brent. I don't watch the US office.
Oh, you're fucking knob, Gaz.
UK office, I'm all over.
Alright, who's most like David Brent?
It's gotta be Moyes, isn't it, for that.
I'm sorry to say.
it's gotta be Moyes, and then it's Solskjaer, probably. And I'm not saying...
Dance. I could see Moyes doing that with his towel.
Hang on, let him explain his Solskjaer decision.
Because I can imagine that Solskjaer's one of them, like, he thinks he's mates with all the players.
No, I think Ollie is mates with the players.
I hope he is, but I just...
And that's not a good thing, by the way.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily a good thing.
As the results have shown.
And that's why you can get a certain level of... You know what? Ollie gets criticised for being smiling in front of camera, for example, after we've lost.
Fuck off, though.
And I find that bizarre because I find that.
You're all right. Is it back on?
I find that bizarre.
It's all right.
I find that bizarre because, obviously, like, he's obviously hurting. Whether you like him or think he's good enough as a manager or not, he's clearly, his heart's in the right place. And I find that bizarre. Oh, he's smiling. He don't care. He clearly does care. And I just find that whole.
Makes your argument seem stupid when you're taking a screenshot of him slightly, you know,
but it's like
his lips.
You can't have a manager that he's opposite to Jose, isn't he?
Yeah.
So with Jose, he'd be, it'd sound truthful at some points, but then other points you'd think, whoa, you're going too far. Mm. And with Ollie, it's like, yeah, he needs to do that at some points. But then secondly, you're like, whoa, you're sounding deluded.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
There does need to be a balance with Ollie because like, and I hate that people take things literal. Stop taking. I mean, I've been saying this for fucking years. Stop taking things that are said in press conferences literally. When he says, I'm happy with my squad. Is he happy with the squad? Because I was hearing that he flipped a fucking table when he was told he's only getting three players and he was promised a full overhaul prior to it. But does Ollie want to be... Ollie's character is that he's a generally positive guy. So he's not going to come out and go, these lot of fuck me. Because as soon as that happens and the results go bad, you're out the door. He's in his dream job. He wants to stay in his dream job. And I think he wants to genuinely... I believe that Ollie wakes up every day trying to make United the best club in the world again. I really genuinely believe that. I believe that in my heart, that that's what he's trying to do. Is he capable of doing that? Don't know.
Yeah.
Is he getting the resources to do that? I don't think so. Is he going to get some resources that looks like they're putting some sort of effort into it? I don't know. I was looking at, like, what was going on about the 10 goalkeepers we've signed before.
Yeah.
The reason I was looking at that, because I was trying to spot some sort of transfer strategy. In a nutshell, I basically said to Jaden, this is mine and Jaden's fucking school rides in the morning. And basically,
poor Jaden.
Like, he was like,
back in the war.
He was talking about the fucking Glazers and like, what was it like before the Glazers? Did we spend money? Because we have spent money since. When you actually go through and you see what we have spent since the Glazers, there's been a lot of money spent since Fergie, even. But I was like, look at the transfer strategy beforehand. And that's when I found out we signed 10 goalkeepers in 7 years. And I was like, that was a bit wild. But if you look at like from, you know, we signed Rude and Varane, and then we signed Ronaldo, we signed Rooney, we signed...
Cheberson.
It was Ruud van Nistelrooy,
Cleberson.
Rio Ferdinand. That's what
you're trying
that's
to say.
All of those players, and you're like, boom, world class player. Even Varane, world class player, didn't quite work out. But
Laurent Blanc.
There was all of those signings. But then actually, when you drill down into it, you're like, oh man, there's a lot of guff here.
David Bellion.
There is a lot of, yeah, them ones.
He was so good at Sunderland.
There's only a couple of years where you go, oh my god. Like the 07-08 summer, that was an oh my god. We signed
Tevez. That's the greatest summer ever, isn't it?
Nani. Owen Hargreaves, you're like, Jesus Christ.
And it happened early.
Yeah. It was done by like fucking May 30th, wasn't it?
I wanted to, because we obviously talk about managers, and since this podcast started and since this channel started, we're always coming around to a managerial debate at some point. One of Gaz's tweet went viral recently, which was an interesting tweet, considering no one on this channel is ever allowed to talk about the Glazers. But he tweeted saying that the Glazers with the Glazers and Woodward would never win another Premier League title, and it went quite viral.
I was about to chat then about like the managers in that situation with the Glazers and Woodward. Do we need a manager? Because we've had Jose.
We had
Jose.
It's a bold strategy.
I'm going to say we do.
There's no manager.
I've meditated on it.
Let him finish. I was just saying, we had Jose who went dead against the board publicly and then sort of turned everyone against each other, turned the club slightly toxic, maybe. Yeah,
at the end, but at the start, he was right up firm.
I think he went too far and then he started, you know, sort of.
His last summer, he fucking booted doors off and flipped tables.
And now we've got Ollie, who a lot of people are saying is the other end of the spectrum and is almost pandering to them. Do we need a manager to be successful with these owners? Do we need a manager that slightly panders to them, almost?
No, I don't think you need to pander to them. I think what Ollie and Jose are doing is both wrong. I think there's a medium to be found in the middle. Where
but there's
you
a lot
can
that goes
on
behind closed doors that we don't see.
Well, I know that he flipped out in the summer. When he signed the contract, he was promised, you will get a total overhaul.
Same thing happened with Moyes.
Yeah.
Look at Fabregas, what he said recently.
Well, yeah, he said he was promised. Moyes come out and said he was promised Bale and Ronaldo, didn't he? And people were like, ah, fuck off, Moyes. But if that's what he was promised, that's what he was promised.
So Fabregas came out recently and said they had talks.
Well, that was really well known. That was really well known. I fucking spoke to an agent at a trial day, and he told me Fabregas is going to be David Moyes' first signing. His mouth to my ear. That's not through a third.
How close
guy.
He was to you.
Yeah. And then, he met David Moyes. David Moyes was like rubbing my belly on him. I've got these videos of Thomas Graverson I'm going to show you.
But do you know, like,
Thomas
I mean,
Graverson was great.
That's how like things break down in transfers and stuff. Now, whatever happened, that didn't get concluded. Woodward left Australia to go and sort it, didn't he? And then, I don't know, went on a cruise or something.
He swam, didn't he?
So there's obviously an over-promising in terms of stuff.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Jose had agreed whatever was going to happen in the summer, then halfway through the summer, he was like, I need to sign Boateng or Yerry Mina, like totally pulled out of his arse. And people at the club had gone, well, we've looked at them, the scouts and the analysts, and we actually don't think that they're good signings. Now, if everybody doesn't agree, from the coaching staff, the analysts and the scouts, we don't sign a player. So there's a bit of a team that goes together to do transfers. I don't know if we're trying to set a really high bar for players. That's just fucking ridiculous for us at the minute. Because there's this thing at the minute. I'm doing a video today, actually, on it. That you can just go and sign players from relegation teams that improve us. Teams fighting relegation.
Oh, massively. Jack Grealish.
Absolutely.
Grealish, McGinn, Doucouré.
McGinn?
Ake.
McGinn's twice. Any Fraser. Troy Deeney.
Troy Deeney would be a brilliant
fucking
one.
Fucking right. Oi. I'd love United to sign fucking Troy Deeney.
Just bring in all my local
just as like, before everyone starts, as a second choice, as a plan B, Troy Deeney versus the nothing that we've got now. Is
we're exaggerating a point to make a point.
Point I'm making is like, are we sticking in this ridiculously high standard of players?
B-Tech Messi.
When actually, we just need more players and quickly. Like,
you made a similar point last season when you said before the summer, I remember me and you were chatting, I think it was on preview. I know, surely not. And you said you could get players from the bottom half of the table that massively improve United
in
the summer.
You're still in it now to relegation.
Yeah.
If you give me the championship, I'll do it after.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And so it's like, that's where we're at now.
I mean,
yeah.
When we look at the recruitment policy of Leicester, for example, as well, and you look at some of the players. Like, look how easily they replaced Kante.
Yeah.
Look how easily they replaced Maguire. Yeah. Look how easily they've been able to replace players and move on.
If they replaced Vardy with another fucking crackhead, wicked drinking Red Bull addict that just bangs goals in left, right, and centre, you're just going to have to.
They'll probably just get his lookalike, won't they?
Look at how quickly they did it as well. Like, I put that tweet the other day because I was there watching the game, and yeah, we've got Jones, who we know has been here far too long. We've known he's shite for like, 8 years? So this guy we've known for a very long time. It's only because of the Glazers that he's still here, surely.
I think with Philip Jones, it's British. One is British, so there's always that, okay, we need to fill that quota, so let's keep him around. Two, he's on probably a pretty big contract in what comparison to what people will want to sign him.
People don't sign reductions in wages very easily.
And it's like we would have gave him that contract to protect the investment and be like, oh, just in case someone wants to give us some money for him. I think his injury issues don't help. Probably whenever a window's come around, I'd love to check the stats, but he's probably been injured for a lot of them. Every time we have a new manager, he seems to have a period where you think, well, he's back again, Philip.
In the last season, under Ollie Ball was a lot down
Jones?
With Phil Jones. Like, it really, really was. Like, when I looked into it, I shocked myself.
What?
Phil Jones under them that win streak of Ollie's at the start of his reign.
Yeah, Chris Smalling played a lot of them games.
No, I'm Phil Jones.
Here's what I'm saying. The fact that Phil Jones should have been replaced 8 years ago. You've got Pereira who should be getting games.
Did he sign 8 years ago?
I think it was just over 8 years ago, wasn't it, that he signed? So
to be fair, if the signings of Rojo, Bailly and Lindelof were successful and proved to be successful. So if our transfer policy, again, it comes back to transfer policy. If our transfer policy was good enough, they wouldn't be here.
No, right, but right. Phil Jones should have been replaced 8 years ago. Pereira should have been replaced 3 years ago when we fucking...
It was less than 8 years ago. I said he would be United
ago.
In England.
Fucking Lingard. Lingard, maybe a year ago, we should have been looking at, this guy ain't going to be the first teamer that we think we maybe need to replace this guy. The fact that we've not replaced... I know we understand that, but we should have replaced
him. People in the first
I'd rather replace them with a player with a bit of potential who one day could keep improving. You know know what I mean? That's the sort of player I'd rather have in there instead, right? We didn't replace any of them. It took them so long to do it. So now I'm looking at players who we've like haven't been here that long, who are good enough to be squad players, not first teamers. And I'm thinking players like Fred are still going to be starting for United in 5 years regularly. And it makes me think how far we are behind and how much we need to catch up. Well, and it's going to take us so long to do it. So I don't think
Skriniar and all sorts of stuff. I genuinely, one centre half, you've got nine.
I do not think United will win a Premier League title with a Glazer and Ed Woodward again. And it's horrible. That was the question, wasn't it? That's what I think.
Yeah, it was. Ben texted me after the game and said, "Do you think we go as long as we did last time?" I went, "What, 26 years?" I went, "I'm certain we get to 10.
I was going to say, we're nearly at 10.
Well, I'm certain we get to 10, though. I'm not even like holding hope that we don't get to 10. We get into 10.
Yeah, definitely.
10's coming. Don't worry about 10.
Definitely.
Then 10's definitely coming. Does it get to 15? It depends on other people.
You don't know, do you? Like, you're saying under Glazer and Woodward. I agree. I don't think as long as Ed Woodward and
they're relying on manager.
I don't think that'll happen.
But you could always fluke something. That's the weird thing, is that you can fluke it.
But I don't know how long they're going to be around. I don't think they're going to be around forever.
No, I don't think they are.
Anyway.
I think we can fluke one, but I don't give a fuck about a fluking one. I want to return to the way you're in contention year after year. How long is that going to take? That might take another decade.
I give a fuck about fluking one if it puts us ahead of Scousers.
Yeah, but
if the Scousers say got to 20, we'd win the next one.
Liverpool,
fluking against Norwich.
We're so far behind Liverpool and City at the minute, and they keep improving, and we're not improving as much as them. No. So we're playing catch up, and we're going to be playing catch up for a very long time.
It's so funny that you've got all the fucking the hashtag Glazer out stuff at the minute, and because you're not tweeting about it 24/7, you obviously support the Glazers. But I remember having arguments with people on Twitter about the Glazers. In fact, if you go and fucking search my ads.
You were arguing with someone on Twitter.
I know it's not like me. But I was arguing with them and they'd be like, look what we've won under them. And you're
remember
like...
Remember when we used to say, just after Fergie left, we used to refer to like the Glazer ownership. Like even we was even talking about my gravestone the other day, what video I wanted. I was like, yeah, that Swansea one. And it's like... We've been talking about it for years, and it's only now that I think people that have been match going have known about it. They've either just not cared about it, or they cared so much that they've stopped going to matches. Yeah. And I think others, that especially the social media generation, they've just started to realise the effect that it's had.
And people are like, here's the thing. I think the protests are futile because the protests in 2005 were huge. There was boycotts, there was protests, there was fucking massive banners and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, right. There's so many like old school United fans just never came back. Couple of thousand of them set up a new club. That was the biggest rift in United fan base I have ever seen. It was carnage. So when people are like, I'm not going to say don't do your protests. I'm not going to say don't do your tweets. I'm not going to say don't do your hashtags. I'm just going to say I'm not going to join it because I feel like it's futile. I support your message, but I can't waste my time just doing that. That's not going to work. Unless you've got a mate with $4 bill and we can fucking bend his ear a little bit and get him on board. But what happened in 2005 was was massive and it did fucking nothing.
To be fair, a lot of the sort of stories around there that maybe just after 2005 about trying to stop it and trying to buy the club were closer than a lot of people think.
We stopped Murdoch,
People born when the Glazers bought United are 15 now. So a lot of people on Twitter who are, saying why aren't you using these hashtags, they don't remember 2009. They weren't around there when the protests were happening then. We were winning stuff. That's when we were protesting because it was about the integrity of Manchester United.
The forums and stuff then was like, stop fucking protesting, like we're in a Champions League final. And you're like,
no.
But like for the good of the club, like they've leveraged, and at the time, I mean, the Sky TV deal is outrageous and no business plan could have ever gone, I would get like $5 bill a season. Like, I'm sure that's coming. Like, no one could have predicted that. Mm. We could have easily, I mean, I don't know how many of our audience at least, I don't even know if you do, the ITV Carlton thing. So Leeds United, basically went tits up because they banked on TV payments from ITV Carlton. ITV Digital was basically like BT Sport has just done.
When
BT Sport came in and went, we'll have all of these extra TV games. So the Premier League gets money from Sky and it gets money from BT Sport. Well, back in, I think it was 99, 2000, somewhere around then, Peter Ridsdale, as the Leeds chairman at that time, he got, I think it was loans out on the basis of this money coming in from ITV Carlton.
But it was also the Champions League.
Yeah.
Was it Setanta as well at that point?
They'd banked on...
It was the same company.
Their whole thing was based around them getting into the Champions League and they missed out by like a point. Got to the semi-final the season before and got knocked out.
They also banked on their own gate receipts.
Yeah, and it was all sort of... Once they didn't get into the Champions League, it all just came right crashing down.
So 3 years before the... Three, 4 years before the Glazer takeover.
People used to fear we'd go that way.
But this is what I'm saying. 3 years before the Glazer takeover, that just happened to Leeds United. They had a fire sale. That's why the likes of Alan Smith, Rio Ferdinand, all of them lot left Leeds United and they just went whoop and dropped down like a fucking stone after being Champions League semi-finalists. Gone. But... The point is that that football club went tits up and nearly went out of business, nearly didn't exist as a football club because of their owners and the way they gambled on future payments. The Glazers bought Manchester United with £600 million worth of debt when our turnover, let alone profit, our turnover at the time was somewhere in the region of £200 million. So you're like, wait a fucking minute. So this club's now got to pay all that back. And for facts, we've paid £1.3 billion in debt repayments, interest and refinancing costs, and we still owe £400 million. You could have got a better deal with Wonga, right? You could have got a fucking payday loan and not paid off a billion. And how would you pay off £1.3 billion and still owe 66% of what you...
Glazernomics.
It's insane. And you wonder why United fans are fucking annoyed, because we've had over £100 million a season. £100 million. Think what that was in 2005. That was four world-class players, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's probably one. But it, back in 2005, that was four world-class players. We've paid that every single fucking season. Think about every transfer that's happened.
Imagine if they just gave that money to Fergie.
Ribery, all that sort of stuff.
Imagine if they just gave that money to Fergie and let him rebuild for when he leaves.
For transfers? We'd be playing in a 500,000 all-seater, rail-seat fucking stadium.
It's like that shows you the lack of forward thinking, the lack of forward planning, the lack of planning for Fergie leaving, the just thinking, oh, it's just going to carry on being successful. He leaves, oh shit, now we need to throw money at it.
Yeah.
Chucking money at it under three, four different managers. It just continues to get worse.
So what,
if you knew a guy, right, that had three businesses, one was a, let's say an American football team, one was another football team, and one was a fucking shopping centre, and all three of his businesses was fucked, would you be like, you're a really good businessman?
I know, yeah, exactly.
Or would you be like, bro, maybe go and work in a chippy. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Sounds like the man they made president.
The thing is, though...
yeah, that's a good point.
The thing is, though, when all comes... And it all, what it all comes round to is the Glazer family own a club which is worth over £1 billion, and they literally put fuck all into it. And that, my friends, is the move of the century. That is...
How good your credit rating got to be for that?
You can go even
further,
right? I'm
about to have a phone call for a phone contract.
You can go even... You know what annoys me, right? It's like people talking about City and what they've done in the last few... In the last decade and whatnot, and throw money at it. And it's like, United should have been doing similar things. The way they regenerated that area of East Manchester. Old Trafford, it's going beyond football. It's Old Trafford.
We know why
they
need a fucking baby.
Poorest areas of Manchester, innit? Like, that whole area should have been redeveloped.
Though, right?
Who cares? They've done it.
It's called sports washing, guys.
What do you
mean? It's called sports washing.
Go on, explain your point there.
The owners of Man City are some of the most corrupt people on this planet.
Absolutely.
Guys.
They're
involved in...
That doesn't mean they've not helped
involved
out the people in that area.
They're involved
area.
In some of the...
The local people
They've helped the people in the area around where they own a business.
Yeah.
But they're still fucking people over the planet in the world.
I agree.
That's called sports washing. Helping this guy, but punching this guy
in the face. I'm not saying they're nice guys. Like, I'm saying what they've done in East Manchester is a good thing, and we should have owners that do a similar thing in one of the poorest
areas. I'm not sure it all is a good thing, because they might be artificially inflating prices there, building new properties, but there's
it's not gentrification, though, is it?
It is, and all of the new area of a place called Holt Town, which isn't actually built yet, which is like from like Wing Yip and Oldham Road down through Ancoats, is going to be a whole new area. But when you do a new build nowadays, there's a percentage of that you're supposed to do, which is affordable housing, and they ain't been doing that. They've just been building whatever the fuck they want.
Well,
they're going to own like a quarter of
Manchester. I heard that's why Vincent Kompany was doing all that homeless stuff as well.
Yeah.
Because they're bringing out some housing which isn't very favourable.
I don't know.
So go back to Gaz's point, though.
I'm just going to throw quickly, allegedly, in there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everything mentioned in this podcast.
I get where you're coming from, Gaz, about Old Trafford. It is a disgrace, the poverty around there. But Our owners won't even fucking sort out Old Trafford, the football ground, let alone the fucking...
Fucking lights are out there.
Yeah, they're not going to be buying bulbs from the library.
But I'm just saying that's what United should have been doing.
For those of you who weren't at the fucking match on Tuesday...
I'm not saying I want to be causing fucking chaos in the Middle East as well, mate.
We should have been doing it, but not with blood money.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, for those of you who weren't there on Tuesday, do you know the very famous red Manchester United part of Old Trafford? The sign, the neon bit?
Yeah.
That wasn't even on. So I don't know if the bulb's gone.
At the start of the game, a few letters were on.
You're joking.
I'm reliably informed.
Really?
Yeah. So basically, put some fucking money in the meter. Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning into the podcast. Sorry that, you know, it's been a bit of a hectic, mad one. Make sure you check out ExpressVPN.
What's that?
Yeah, /. Don't you worry, ExpressVPN.com/extra. The link is in the description, and that is for to protect your online activity. And you get 3 months free on a 1-year package. So that's visit expressvpn.com/extra to learn more.
Make sure you check out at RFFH for Jay on Twitter, at Mr. Stephen Arson on everything, and at @radio_Gaz on everything as well. And check out Talking Balls on BBC Radio Manchester.
You still need to do them training modules, by the way.
I ain't doing them.
Sorry, he got me a gig. When I got the vocals like, does Mac not want to do it? He went, he's not replying to me.
I ain't doing a 4-hour course. Fuck that. Anyway, guys, see you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.